Happy Thanksgiving, listeners of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
I am your non-Thanksgiving, non-American host, Justin.
No turkey for Justin today.
No, I got mine like a month ago.
We are recording a very special episode.
Yes.
We've done some Shudder stuff in the past, mainly Video Palace, and we've been a part of their email distro, like promoting what's coming new. And one caught our eye this week, more so not our eye, Justin's eye, and it's called The Headhunter. Obviously, that's what we're reviewing. Justin, do you want to talk to the audience about why, when you saw this trailer, you knew it was something you had to review?
Yeah. Like Larry said, we get these emails like once a month, and I think there was one a while ago that we talked about checking out, but we decided to skip on.
You're too busy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was an interesting looking movie. But I always kind of check out the trailers that they send along with the email. And I don't really know a lot about the mythology, but I love the look and feel of like this.
Which we're going to get into, very, very sure.
Yeah, it's like a very like medieval, high fantasy kind of.
We'll include the trailer link to this, but I do have some production notes. But again, this is a short review. Couple things to say first. We got a screener version of this film from Sean Redlitz over at Shudder.
Yes.
So we got to see it for free. It comes exclusively to Shudder on December 5th. Which will be next Friday for everybody listening. And I think that covers our legal stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's everything. Yeah.
All right. Cool. So it's a 2018 fantasy horror film directed by Jordan Downey and stars Christopher Rigg. If I mispronounced that, I'm sorry. Downey, funnily enough, is from Granville, Ohio. So kind of near where I'll be moving back to here in a few weeks. And it was interesting. I was reading about him and he worked under Wes Craven.
Oh, really? Okay. You know what? Yeah, I can see
that. He has previously directed Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3.
Whoa.
Which shocked me to find that out.
Yeah. Big change.
Yes. And then for Christopher Rigg, he can next be seen in the 2020 film Medieval, which has nothing to do with the video game. I got super excited, and then I saw that it wasn't that.
So is it still a horror movie?
No, it looks more like a... I don't think it's horror. I think it's more of like this kind of time period film, which we'll get into when we talk about the movie.
Yeah.
I found that it was shot on an estimated budget of $30,000.
I did read that, and that blows my mind.
Absolutely. It is such a pretty movie, which we'll get to. But yeah, so obviously this is not out for a lot of people. Justin and I were luckily, again, thanks to Shudder and Sean for hooking us up with this. We will have no spoilers in this. We're going to talk about the four main things we always talk about: plot, cinematography, the audio, and how scary. And then at the very end, say, watch it now, watch it when you can, or skip it. Just a very simple way of breaking it down.
Yeah, and I think it's I think it would do anybody disservice to spoil it before they could even see it. So
yes, and then if one of us slip up, we are going to throw in some... I don't know, maybe we'll have Golem yell at us over top of our slip-up if we start spoiling.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
But no spoilers, so no 60-second plot summary, so we'll just hop right in the plot. And the best way I can simply describe this plot is Skyrim meets The Descent.
That is a very good way to put it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to talk about this movie without spoilers. I don't think so.
I mean, I think especially for plot, the biggest thing is like what you need to know, and it's in the description everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Is what looks to appear like Viking medieval knight bounty hunter.
Yes.
Is hunting a monster that killed his daughter.
Is that in the description?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on IMDb, so... If it's there, I think we can get away with it.
Yeah, and it's a very good tale of revenge. I think it's safe to say that.
And the other thing I want to say for plot two, again, just trying to avoid spoilers, is that the film itself, obviously, $30,000 is a small budget. it takes a very minimalist approach to the monsters, the world setting, and everything like that. But that, if anything, only makes the film more enjoyable. So Devin watched it with me.
Okay.
And Devin loves Skyrim. This is like her kind of thing. And she said it's one of the most immersive films she's ever watched.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, it's interesting because when I first sat down to watch this, I wasn't, you know, after like a couple minutes, I was like, oh, okay, I'm a little like wishy-washy on it. But I found myself being pulled in by just like the random things he does in his mm-hmm. day-to-day life. Like, those yeah. really pulled me in. And like,
and then it's nice because it ties it all back together. Like, everything you see at the beginning gets tied back in at the end, which I love. No spoilers.
Yeah, gotta no spoilers. But like, that was like one of my favorite shots. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. That's like, I was wondering what happened to that, but yes.
Okay. Moving on to cinematography.
Okay.
Again, we're not doing pros or cons. We're just
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cinematography. I thought the film was edited wonderfully. And I think they did an amazing job at the beginning of the film laying out the setting of the film, his house, his wares, like where things are at, because that becomes crucial for the third act.
Oh, I agree. And I actually think it's very, they did a very smart approach by, again, doing very minimalistic, like things you see and things you don't see. There was one shot in particular that didn't work for me personally.
I will get to that too in a second. I think we'll probably have that in a second.
Yeah.
But I think we're on the same page. Before we get to that though, I do want to say there is a tunnel sequence in the trailer we'll have in the description of this episode. You'll see it. But watching it, we haven't reviewed The Descent yet. I've talked about it a little bit. Claustrophobia and that kind of stuff really bugs me. Like, it does not tickle my fancy.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was filmed in such a way, like when he you realize how tight it is, he has to take his armor off to get in there, and he's chasing something that isn't that big when he's like going in there. Like I said, he's a bounty hunter, and hoof, I didn't like that.
Yeah, yeah. they do such a good job of wherever he is and whatever he's doing, they always bring you like right in on him, so you kind of get the feeling of what he's feeling during whatever mm-hmm. sequence. I mean, there's other sequences that it's
so moving into that, like, it's, again, no spoilers, but there is a sequence that gets very doomy.
The first person sequence, yeah, it was
and again, like, I think it worked fine for what they were trying to do, but for me, the before that and after that, the film is so immersive and uses light, and it's just very, very pretty. That sequence took me out of the movie for a little bit.
And it's interesting because I think the only thing that really took me out of that sequence was the fact that you could this shot. It's a first person perspective through his helmet, so you kind of have like the two like helmet cutouts,
and it's like a Viking helmet too, right? Yeah. So you have like the eye split, yeah.
But you could see through all of it at the same time, like it wasn't.
Well, that's how you see with your own eyes. Or do you have glasses on or something that blocks your middle viewing?
But he's got like this.
I thought it looked good. Like I said, my problem was more just it wasn't the same aesthetic as the rest of the film.
Oh, see,
that was my problem.
I had the opposite problem where, like, I think it fit the, like,
really?
Yeah, I think it fit. It just didn't look great to me. But other than that, like this is a gorgeous movie for $30,000. Really, like,
it is, there are some shots that, like, I'm sure you've seen. Have you seen The Revenant by Alejandro Iñárritu? Stars Leo. It's what Leo got Leo's Academy Award.
Nope.
Okay, there are some shots in that of like winter nature.
Okay,
that in this film with some of the shots of nature and the surroundings, I was getting strong flashbacks, which again is high praise for this movie.
Yeah. Also, one thing I do want to bring up is this movie has like again going back to $30,000, like it has some very, very impressive practical prop work.
Yes, so I was trying to avoid that because I didn't want to like spoil anything, and I was afraid if I started talking about it, I would.
Well, that's all I'm gonna say.
But what you said is perfect. Yeah. Yes, it uses practical effects, and if you've listened to me talk at all on this podcast, I will take subpar practical effects over CGI any day. this film has fantastic practical effects, and shout out to the puppeteers.
Yeah, like, it's insane. I really thought the budget was going to be a lot higher.
Yeah, me too. All right, audio. So I would say about 90% of this film, if not more, it's just Christopher Rye on the screen by himself.
And he's silent.
Almost no talking, yeah. Right, when he's on the screen. And he keeps you enthralled the whole time.
Yeah, and I think it actually works that way because you spend so much time with him. It's like, okay, if switch positions, if I was in his position, I wouldn't be sitting there talking to myself unless,
yeah,
you know, something needed to be talked about, if you will.
Yeah, and again, like, kind of just comparing it to another film similar to it in The Revenant with Leo, right? There's a lot of that with Leo by himself out in the wilderness, surviving his attack and everything. I think Rye does a better job. Like, I think there's more asked of him. And again, I like The Revenant, but I think this film kept me a whole lot more hooked the whole time. So, honest, I can't say enough good things about his performance.
Yeah, and it also, in his silence, it kind of makes those moments where he speaks, like, that much more powerful and that much more meaningful.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, there's two... I don't know if this is... No, because it's him and his daughter. There's two, like, actors, or mm-hmm. one actor, one actress. And, like, I think even the short time we see with his daughter, I think she's great. She kind of conveys the point that's she's there for.
Yeah, but she's not very long, which is why I really didn't include her, because I mean, she does a fine job, you're right, but I think it's Christopher's show.
Oh, yeah.
I think he carries it perfectly.
He is fantastic, and I truly thought that, like, I'm surprised he hasn't been in more.
Yeah. I do like, again, this is kind of go back to plot, but it's weird not doing the spoilers and stuff, and I think now I can say without spoiling it. I like how this movie doesn't... I think a lot of fantasy likes to, like, explain why things are the way they are.
Yep.
This one doesn't do it. It's like, you're watching it, you'll pick up on the cues. It's done well, right? But... it's fantastic. The score was great. The atmospheric fantastic. Noises yep. were awesome. The monster noises were great. I liked how the horn called out the next bounty. I loved that. I loved that a whole lot.
And, like, going back to plot, like, it's with the horn, like, it's interesting to see something that's not just flat laid out for you. Like, this is what this yeah. means. It's explained to you over time, and they don't even, like, really mm-hmm. explain it. They just kind of show
you. No, but you pick it up. Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely pick it up. All right, the last and most important for a horror podcast, how scary. When Justin showed me this trailer, I told you I was a little bit concerned because I didn't really... To me, it looked really cool, but it didn't seem that scary. I can say after watching it is that it does have some really good moments of high tension.
Yes.
Such as when...
Oh, what a good movie, High Tension. Sorry.
Yes, we have to get to that sooner rather than later. It has some really cool sequences. Monster hunting, I'll say that.
Yep.
And I already mentioned the cave tunnel sequence that you see in the trailer was really good. But for me, I wasn't all that scared. That doesn't take away from it. Like I said, there are those strong tension moments, but it wasn't that scary to me. And the biggest thing for me, too, is that there's a sequence, like I said, where he's like moving around the house. I'm not going to go into details, but that's when the Doom sequence takes place, and it sucked me right out.
I think that I would have to agree. It's not like your general... what you're gonna get horror movie that you would get yes, nowadays.
Absolutely.
I really, really feel
like... But it's also not like cerebral like Dr. Sleep.
Yes, and it's the way I felt when I was watching it, and this kind of ties it all together but also is very important for how scary I think is, it made me feel like I was watching like an 80s just like... like I feel like I was watching like a monster movie from the 80s. Like it almost reminded me of like a less gross, better done like basket case kind of like horror feel, like where it's not like overly horror, but like you get like the gritty, like nasty, just you understand the world and you love it, and it's just, I don't know, it's a creature flick for sure. And like okay. you can tell that there is a lot of love put into the creature effects.
So you found it scary then?
I would still say I'm middling on the okay. scary, but I think I'm higher like if we were to sit down here and give it a
yeah,
score.
Yeah, if we were actually scoring it. I want to give it a score. We can't like break it down too much.
Yeah, of course.
But again, it's not that I didn't like it. And I said, I think that if that Doom sequence didn't take place during one of those moments of like of buildup, I think it would have landed a lot more for me. And I would love to talk to the director about it because I would like to know why that was decided.
Yes.
I would really like to know that. Maybe it'll help me understand it better and everything. It is, like I said, it just seems super out of place. So yeah. So then for these kind of reviews, we do watch it immediately, watch it when you can, or skip it. I personally say watch it immediately.
I agree. Like,
it's only 70 minutes long, so it's not the longest kind of horror affair. It's a fast watch. Like, it goes by really fast. And I like seeing filmmakers do new things. And so even though this wasn't all that scary to me to see this kind of approach to a horror film, and especially with the practical effects, I can't say enough about it. And it made me want to go play Skyrim.
I would agree with you. Like, it's good to see something new, fresh, and like not only that, but interesting. And like, they pulled it off. I mean, again, if you go back to that $30,000 budget, like, they pulled it off. They did an incredible job.
It's insane. Subgenre, I think we probably can both easily agree, kaiju.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Because that's where we're putting monsters, right?
Yeah.
And then that's the review, guys. Definitely check it out. Like I said, comes to Shudder, which you can get almost on any app. You can add it to your Amazon Prime account. You can get it on PlayStation or wherever. Next Friday, December 5th. It's fantastic, absolutely worth your time. And again, really big thank you to Sean Redlitz over at Shudder for hooking us up with it. It was awesome. Like, when we got it, I watched it like an hour after I got the link.
I wasn't that lucky. I have kids.
You have kids. Yeah, you have kids, so you weren't able to do it. But yeah, me and Devin sat right down, and man, it was
a treat.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it was awesome. So happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you enjoy it. Justin, any last notes before we close this episode out?
I mean, again, just this is the kind of stuff I love watching, like indie. It doesn't have to be indie, but like horror filmmakers doing new interesting things. I really hope we get to see more of not only the film, the director, but I hope we get to see a lot more of the actor as well.
Yeah, all around. Yeah. All right, guys, and until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at @HeresJohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/HeresJohnnyPodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.